When I was with the Palm Beach County, Florida Board of Elections, a uniquely worded proposal appeared on the ballot during one of our elections. We had to explain to the voters that the way the proposal was worded, if you were for the proposal, you had to vote no. And if you were against the proposal, you had to vote yes. Needless to say, this was very confusing and didn't make any sense to the voters, let alone to us and the election staff. But the legislators wrote it that way, and we had to accept it as so. The memory of that long-ago election came to mind when I read a letter, Paul's letter to the Corinthians that we heard just a little bit ago. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Sounds a bit confusing too. But what we see is Paul taking hold of two categories for great, the two categories for greatness in the ancient world, wisdom and power, and turning them on their heads. Paul contends that the gospel has a way of altering our previously held expectations. God did not send us a Messiah so that the Christians can outpace the world in its own game. Instead, God's work comes as a genuine surprise to the watching world. Where the world's measuring stick would indicate folly or weakness, the gospel proclaims to those with ears to hear wisdom and power. As Paul begins his defense of the foolishness of the gospel, he places his interpretive key front and center. It is the cross that personifies foolishness and weakness to the outsiders. The rulers and leaders of that age thought Christ crucified was utterly ridiculous and absolutely absurd. They could not believe that Christ crucified is the way that God has acted to save the world. Paul insists that our normal way of assessing smart practices and displays of power are prone to deceive us. So why did this letter come about? Paul is greatly concerned because the church in Corinth is split into factions and parties who would attach themselves to names of various leaders and teachers. Paul believes that these divisions had emerged because the Corinthians thought too much about their own worldly wisdom and knowledge and too little about the sheer grace of God. Marcus Borg called the wisdom of the world the normalcy of the world, the way life most commonly is, the way things are. You could say that the wisdom of the world is expressed anytime individuals, organizations, institutions, communities, and whole societies act in their own self-interest. How different is the wisdom of Jesus, where all through the Gospels, Jesus invites his followers into lives of simplicity, where less is more. Unless we forget, you and I can be duped by the wisdom of the world. When we as individuals are more about upward mobility and climbing the ladder of success, when we care more about appearance and achievement, when we are concerned more with our place, our position, and prominence than we are about the common good or loving our neighbors as ourselves or treating others the way we would want to be treated, then we are operating by the wisdom of the world. I don't know about you, but that has been me more times in my life than I would like to admit. Paul finds the ultimate expression of the wisdom of God in the message of the cross, the message of Christ crucified. Let's not forget what the cross was. It was an instrument of torture and execution reserved for those who dared to challenge the imperial might of Rome. Crucifixion was a horrific way. It was a horrific way to die, imposed by Rome to display publicly what traitors and rebels of Rome could expect. So how does Christ crucified become, as Paul says, the wisdom and power of God? Jesus' death cannot be separated from the life he lived that led to his crucifixion. I would suggest that when Paul references Jesus' death in his letters, which he does quite frequently, usually in sacrificial terms, he is succinctly and poignantly summing up the entire life and career of Jesus. Jesus centered his life in the rule of God. He gave himself over to God's will, preaching good news to the poor, freedom for captives, giving sight to the blind, and liberation to the oppressed. He crossed borders, broke down boundaries, accepted the unacceptable, forgave sinners, healed lepers, included the marginalized, loved enemies, and what happened? Christ crucified. They put him to death. He threatened the normalcy of their world. The wisdom of God is exemplified when Jesus tells his disciples, who at one point keep arguing who would be the greatest among them, that while rulers of the world seize and wield power, it must not be so for them. He tells them they must be a servant of all. So that message echoes down to us today. We are not to be a servant of a select few who can advance our cause and support our climb up the ladder. We are to be the servant of all people. And if Jesus is our model, then that especially means the excluded and marginalized, as well as the poor and the impoverished. The wisdom of the world had no use at all for the wisdom embodied in the life and teachings of Jesus of Nazareth. So when Paul speaks of the cross, it represents the suffering love of God, and unfortunately, it shows what happens when the wisdom of the world is confronted and challenged by the wisdom of God. So what does God want from us? How do we live into the wisdom of God? I am looking out at many folks sitting here today, many ordinary people who have done and are doing extraordinary things with their lives. We have among us saints that have fought for racial equality, LGBTQ rights, educational justice, those who have dedicated their lives to helping others through their work in the medical and human service fields. People working with the so-called least in society, people teaching generations of children, and so much more. You who have sat by bedsides and in living rooms with people who needed a listening ear or a shoulder to cry on. You who have cooked a meal for someone recently released from the hospital. You who have cooked for people experiencing homelessness and economic hardship. You who have done all these things and so much more. This is a call from God to serve Christ by serving the Christ that lives in others. This is living into the wisdom of God. You are being called to do something. It might not be something huge, life-changing, or life-saving, but you are making a difference. God is using the likes of us to do new things and great things each and every day. Forrest Gump captured the wisdom of God in a single line. I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is. Whenever love is present, God is at work. Wherever love is, God is. Amen.